Every time I hear that song, I'm brought back to a time when I was in college. And I thought, I'm going to seek the Lord till I find Him. And I spent that day reading the Scriptures, trying to pray. And by the end of the day, I felt like I failed. I have not found Him. And I read the Scriptures. They weren't speaking to me. Whatever. And I started thumbing through the hymn book. And I read that hymn. And second verse, upon the cross of Jesus, mine eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of His glorious love and my own worthlessness. And I remember how that touched me so long ago. So I love that hymn. Would you turn back to Acts chapter 7? I've entitled this message, Beautiful to God. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair. And like I said, my marginal reading says fair to God. And that is in the original. I'm not sure why the translators left that out. He was exceeding fair to God and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, when his birth is spoken of, it says his parents saw him as a goodly child, a beautiful child. And I'm sure he was a beautiful child. Hebrews 11:23 says his parents saw him as a proper child. But in our text, it's literally he was fair to God. Beautiful to God. God saw this baby and he saw one who he deemed beautiful. Let me read quite a few other translations. These are not from the King James, obviously, but they're better translations. Fair to God, well-pleasing to God, beautiful in God's eyes. I like this one, no ordinary child. Beautiful in God's sight, lovely in the sight of God, beautiful, beautiful before God, beautiful to God. Now, I imagine he was a beautiful baby, but this is not speaking of physical beauty. Now, there is such a thing as physical beauty. You know that, and I know that. Some people are born beautiful. The ones you like are the ones who know it. Or the you don't like are the ones who know it. You know, I've been born beautiful, and they think that there are certain advantages they have, and there are certain advantages they do have. I mean, if you're a good-looking person, you're going to have advantages in this life. Unfair as it may be, you're going to have advantages over others in this life. You know where it says all men are created equal? No, they're not. No, they're not. There's some people who are born with more advantages than other people. Some people born more intelligent than other people. I mean, that's just the way it is. And there are certain advantages you'll have if you're one of the, quote, beautiful people. This is not what this is talking about. And as far as that goes, physical beauty, it'll leave you. I don't care how beautiful you are, if you live long enough, you're going to look ugly. You will. It's going to happen. Anybody, age is going to get to you. And you're not going to be the beautiful person you are. But this is not talking about physical beauty. Now it said regarding Moses, the infinite, eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign of the universe, looked at Moses at his birth. And he saw one who was beautiful. Beautiful. And do you know, with regard to every one of God's elect, this is true. You're seen by God Himself as beautiful. God knows beauty. I mean, you don't really know it, but He does. And if He sees one as beautiful, they are beautiful. Beautiful in God's sight. Beautiful on the outside, beautiful on the inside. God looked at Moses, this baby, and he was beautiful in God's sight. Now, would you turn with me for a moment to Psalm 90? Moses, like you and I, Moses was a sinner. And Moses knew he was a sinner. And if you would have asked Moses, "Are you beautiful on the inside?" he'd say, "Oh no, oh no." He didn't see himself that way at all. Now, Psalm 90, I want you to notice the name of this psalm. And remember, these names are inspired. These names are inspired. These titles over the psalms. And look at the title over this 90th psalm. The Psalm of Moses, the man of God. Moses wrote this psalm. I'm not sure if he wrote any other psalms, but I know he wrote this psalm, and his name is above it. Now, look what he says, beginning in verse 3. "Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it's past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. They are as asleep in the morning. They're like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes. It grows up. In the evening it's cut down and withers. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, that nobody else knows about but you. They're brought in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." Now that's Moses' estimation of himself. Look down in verse 17. "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Now, how can that be? He didn't believe himself to be a beautiful person. He talked about his secret sins and his iniquities before the light of God's countenance. And any believer feels that way. There's no believer that does not feel that way. And he makes this request: let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, how can that be? If you're beautiful to God, it's because His beauty is on you. I love the song, "When I stand before thy throne, dressed in beauty, not my own. When I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart. Then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe." How can the Lord's beauty be upon me so that when the Lord sees me, He sees one who is beautiful in His sight? And God doesn't pretend. He doesn't say, "I know he's not beautiful, but I'm counting my beauty to him, and that makes him beautiful." No, it's not some kind of putting the ledger back and forth. No, if God sees me as beautiful, there's only one reason: I am beautiful in His sight. Now, we have to begin probably going over some things I already said this morning. That's not going to hurt anything. The Bible is the inspired word of God. That's the only way we can learn something about the beauty of God being upon the believer. You got to begin with the Bible being the inspired word of God. And the Bible tells us how this can be. Now, in the Bible, this book of inspiration that God has written to reveal to us who He is, there's no saving knowledge of God apart from this book. We just read Psalm 19, and there we have God's two books. The book of nature, the sun that going across its circuit, testifying that God is God, the firmament showing forth His handiwork. Then He talks about the Word of God. It's pure, enlightening the eyes, clean, enduring forever. The Word of God reveals, the inspired Word of God, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You got to begin there. You got to begin there. And the Bible tells us how a sinner can be beautiful before God. Now, the Bible reveals that God is one God in three distinct persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God in three distinct persons, the triune God. Of course, we couldn't figure this out on our own. I mean, if there wasn't a Bible, and this was never heard of, and you came up to somebody that had been revealed to you somehow, God is one God in three persons, they say, you're crazy. Why, that doesn't even make sense. Well, that's who He is. One God in three different persons. It's a mystery we would have never known had not God made it known. And all three persons of the Godhead act in making the sinner beautiful. God the Father elects a sinner to be beautiful. That's what salvation is. It's to be beautiful to God. God the Son redeemed those people and saved them from what made them ugly, their sins, and put them away. And God the Holy Spirit gives them spiritual life. Understand the Trinity? No. Believe? With all my heart and with all my soul by His grace. This is who He is. In the beginning, I love this scripture. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, a distinct person. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, before creation, when there was no time, there was no space, the universe had not been created, the three persons of the Godhead rejoiced in one another. I love to think about that. Before there was a moon or stars, before there were planets, before there was a creation, when all there was God. Now, I know we can't comprehend that. God's not bound by time and space. I can't even say there was a time when there was all good, because there wasn't such thing as time. Time didn't begin until the creation. All there was God. And how the Father loved the Son. How beautiful the Son was to the Father. How the Son delighted in the Spirit. How the Spirit rejoiced in the Son. Perfect fellowship, worshiping one another. He didn't have any needs. He didn't need to create. But here He is in the three persons of His sacred person, loving, worshiping, and adoring one another. Turn with me for a moment to Proverbs chapter 8. Now, wisdom is personified. This is Christ speaking under the name wisdom. It begins with, "Does not wisdom cry?" And then understanding, put forth a voice. Now, listen to the words of the Lord Jesus, beginning in verse 22. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Even then, my delights were with the sons of men." Now, there's something else we know from this book. We know this book is the inspired word of God. We know that God is one God in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We know that before time began, the three persons of the Godhead worshiped and adored and rejoiced in one another. But you know something else we know from the Word of God? That even then, Christ had a people in him. Christ had a people that he knew in him. These are the people who were perfectly united to him. He knew and loved each of them individually before the foundation of the world. You know what that means? That means before time began, God knew you. And it means you have not been out of his thoughts for one moment at any time. Isn't that incredible? Jeremiah 31:3, "Behold, I have loved thee." Individuals. Not just some kind of generic love of mankind. "Behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." He said to Jeremiah, and he says this to all his people, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Never been a time when he didn't know you. "For he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Hebrews 2:11 says, "Both he that sanctifieth," I love this scripture, "both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified, both he who makes holy and they who are made holy are all of one." Not close, but one. "For the which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now, before time, these ones that he has always known had this beauty, the beauty of the Lord God upon them, being united with the Lord Jesus Christ. However beautiful Christ is, that's how beautiful they are. Now, these are the ones the Father gave to him as a bride before time began. It's what's called election. Ephesians 1:4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." We read this term, the beauties of holiness, quite often in the scriptures. "That we should be holy and without blame before him." Now listen to this scripture. All that the Father, these are all the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's ever plucked them out of my Father's hand. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me. John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now we see that this beauty began before time began. And Christ came into the world to represent these people the Father gave him. These people before time began had their beauty from the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's where their beauty came from. Now all of this took place before creation. Then we know from Revelation that God created the heavens and the earth, including that, including is the creation of Adam. And he was the representative man. Now before the fall, he walked in fellowship and communion and enjoyment of God. Then we have the fall. The fall of man. Now, you don't understand the fall if you don't understand that this was all according to God's purpose. Could God have prevented the fall? Of course he could have. That's a ridiculous question when it comes right down to it. Of course he could have. But he didn't. Why? Because it was his purpose. In the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And Adam lost his beauty. He became a sinner, repugnant in God's sight. A sinner by the fall, and after him, everybody that's in him became a sinner by birth, a sinner by choice, and a sinner by practice. Adam lost his beauty. Included in the fall were the elect. All the elect, those who are in Christ, were also in Adam's loins. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, in that all have sinned. Now, with regarding to these elect, these ones united to Christ, he knew them when they fell. He never stopped loving them when they fell. You see, this fall was all a part of God's purpose to glorify his Son in saving his people. Now Christ achieved glory that he would not have achieved had he not gone to the cross. But in him going to the cross, he makes known every attribute of Almighty God. Every display, every attribute is displayed clearly. God's holiness, God's love, God's grace, God's sovereignty, God's justice, God's power. All that God is described by the cross. Now this is God's purpose, and it's best. It's best. Well, why didn't God save everybody? Because it was best for him not to. Whatever he does, and I'm not going to apologize for God, whatever he does is right, just, holy, and true. And it was best, and all of the elect were loved by Christ even in spite of the fall. And before time, when he was rejoicing before the Father, he didn't have a physical body. He assumed flesh to save the people that God gave him as his holy, precious bride. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see this. Familiar scripture, but no less astounding. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now there is the beauty of the church. Christ gave himself for it, that he might wash it and cleanse it, and make it to be without spot, without wrinkle, his beautiful bride. That's what the Lord did for his church. He made her perfectly beautiful on the inside and on the outside. And when God sees every one of those united to Christ, he sees them as beautiful. Beautiful. This is how God Moses, and this is how God saw Moses. This is how he sees every believer as beautiful. And let me add this, the way God sees is the way it really is. I love Psalm 50, verse 2. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty has shined. Child of God, you don't see yourself this way, but he does. He does. Now listen to these scriptures real carefully. These are from the Song of Solomon. Christ says to every one of his people, thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes. My dove, let me see thy face. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Believer, how he loves you in your beauty that he's made you to be. You're always in his thoughts. There's never been a time, a second, before or after the making of time when he hadn't been thinking about you. When he hasn't loved you. You're always on his mind. That Willie Nelson sings that song, that's not what I'm talking about. You really were always on his mind. Just like the high priest with the names of the children of Israel engraven on his breast, always there right by his heart. There's never been any time where the Lord's thoughts are not toward me. And remember this about the Lord's thoughts. The Lord's thoughts are his actions. It's not just thinking and something doesn't happen. It's his glorious thoughts. I think of this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians 8, 9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That though he was rich, oh, his riches. Can't even describe them. For your sakes he became poor. That you through his poverty might be rich. Now that's love. That's love, isn't it? What about this? The Father spared not His own Son. Now that's love. The Father spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? How God the Holy Spirit loves you as to take up permanent residence in your heart. He's there, and He'll never be anywhere but there. He will never leave. Now, He's made this beautiful, precious bride, and just as Moses was beautiful in God's sight, so is every believer, without exception. How beautiful. We'll turn to 1 John chapter 4. I quoted this morning. I don't apologize for quoting it twice the same day. Verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is. How beautiful is Jesus Christ? How beautiful is Jesus of Nazareth? How beautiful is the Lord of glory? How beautiful is the Ancient of Days? How beautiful is Jesus Christ to His Father? Oh, the Father is overcome with the beauty of the Son. As He is, so are we in this world right now. You may not feel very beautiful, but your beauty is such that the thrice holy God says, there is no spot in thee. And one of these days, you see, the flesh keeps this from being seen. But you know the way the Lord was transfigured? And His deity burst through His humanity and His face shined as the sun? You're familiar with that passage of Scripture. You know what else the Lord said? The Lord said concerning all of His disciples, you shall shine as the sun in the kingdom of your heavenly Father. Every believer, that's the beauty they possess. Now the flesh keeps it covered up. You know that. You know that. It can't be seen. But until that time where the Lord takes us and brings us into His presence, here is our song while here on earth. First chapter of the Song of Solomon. I'm black, but comely. I'm sinful, but absolutely beautiful. This is what Moses meant when he said, the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Now, with regard to every believer, that's the truth regarding everybody that Christ died for. Beautiful in God's sight. Let's pray. Lord, by Your grace, we believe what You say in Your word. And when You told us, as Your Son is, so are we in this world. Lord, we believe. And Lord, we're so tired of our sin, and we're so ashamed of ourselves that we're not more tired of it than we are. And Lord, we ask that You would hasten the day, the coming of Thy Son, when we shall see Him as He is and be like Him. how beautiful He is. How glorious He is. And Lord, You've told us that the King's daughter is all glorious within. How we thank You for Your Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, who birthed us into Thy kingdom and gave us Your life. Lord, as we face this coming week, we ask that we might be enabled to believe what You say in Your Word. Trust Thy Son. Walk in fellowship and communion with Him. And give us the grace to walk in fellowship and communion with one another, esteeming the other as better than ourselves. But how we thank You for Your glorious person. How we thank You for the Trinity of Your Godhead. How we thank You that You're God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Accept our thanksgiving through Thy blessed Son. In His name we pray. Amen.